blue get out of that bottle? He said, well, you see, if you turn it upside down, it leaks out. He looked at him, he said, what did you do with it? Oh, this tangs, this tangs. And then he remembered the shoes. Skeeter, you didn't. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, he said, are you in for it? He said, Hugo Barnes is going to come in here like a cyclone and tear this place apart. And you with it. Ooh. He looked over at Mogai. Mogai, my dear, dear friend. He said, you will save me, won't you? Mogai says, little pale face get in heap big trouble. Little pale face get out of big heap trouble. He said, some friend, Mogai. He said, some friend. Jackie smiled. That's right, Mogai. If he gets himself into trouble like that, let him get out of it. He said, you're in real trouble. It wasn't long after that when the trouble was heard down the hall. Greenhorn, come a running. Skeeter threw himself under the covers. Skeeter said, I'm not here. Oh, what do you mean you're not here? Jackie threw the covers back. He says, get down there. He said, I don't want that elephant coming in here. He said, elephant? He says, yeah, he's a big old ox. That's what he is. He said, now get out of here. He said, if you don't go, I'm going to throw you out. I'm going. Finally, he looked down the hall and he saw Hugo's red hair sticking out from behind the door. I'm coming. Well, get down here. Skeeter ran down. He said, yes, sir. He said, what's your trouble, Hugo Barnes? He says, I don't know. I can't get these shoes off. Oh. He said, well, you see, sometimes your feet swell and they get bigger. Yeah. Hey, horse. He says, give me a lift with these shoes. Hugo sat down on the bed. Horse grabbed his shoe. Says, give it a yank. Horse gave it a yank and pulled Hugo right off the bed onto the floor. Hey, he said, what are you doing down there, Hugo? He said, you fool. He said, you pulled me off. Well, you told me to. Skeeter kind of snickered. He said, well, evidently your shoes are on a little bit tighter than I thought. He said, I don't understand. What's caused it? He said, well, Hugo, he said, may I make a suggestion? He said, of course. He says, what am I going to do? He said, well, so you see, horse will pull you off the bed. If you would open the window and hang onto the sill, and then horse and I could pull on your shoe and you could pull forward with your hands, and that way we could get the shoe off. Says, horse, why don't you think of some bright ideas like that?
I don't know, you never ask me.
Never ask you. He says, all right. Hugo raised the window, grabbed a hold of the windowsill. He said, when I say three, you pull real hard and we'll pull real hard. All right. They grabbed a hold of one shoe and Skeeter grabbed the other shoe. And Hugo was holding on the windowsill. He said, all right, one, two, three. And they pulled with all their might, and Hugo was strong as an ox, pulled with his might. The shoes came off, and as Hugo pulled himself forward, he went right out the window. Skeeter fell back against the wall and looked around. He said, hey, where'd Hugo go?
I don't know. He was here a minute ago.
Skeeter walked over to the window. Uh-oh. He looked down into the lilac bush, and there was Hugo Barnes. Horse stuck his head out the window. Hey, he said, hey, Hugo, what are you doing down there? He said, I'm picking some lilacs. Oh, he said, that's a good idea. Bring those up for me, would you? Bring some up for you. He says, when I get up there, He said, I think I better go. He says, you better stay. Finally, when he got out of the bushes, he ran around, came up the stairs. Skeeter was just going out when Hugo called him, back inside, you. He says, you and your bright ideas. Skeeter said, I didn't make you do it, Hugo. He says, I thought it was a good idea just because you pulled too hard. And all of a sudden, Skeeter looked down at Hugo's socks, and the entire bottom was pulled off. And all he had was the top part of the socks. And as Skeeter looked down, he said, well, I guess everything's all right now. Did you have a good time? He says, yeah. He says, we did fine. He says, you know, this floor is kind of cool all of a sudden. He said, well, I've got a lot of work to do. He said, if you will excuse me. I said, yeah, you're excused. Skeeter went running down the hall as fast as he could go and slid around the corner and almost slid under the bed. Jackie says, what happened? He said, what happened? He said, oh, he said, Jackie, you wouldn't believe it. He said, Hugo fell out the window into the lilac bush. Fell out the window. He said, yeah, and the whole bottom of his socks just came off. He said, you mean they stuck to the bottom of the shoe? He said, I guess so. He said, he won't have to wear socks anymore. He's got them inside of his shoes. He says, well, when he finds out about this, Skeeter, he says, you're going to be in trouble. He said, well, let's go to bed. So Skeeter started to get ready for bed, and so did Mogai. And they were almost ready to blow the lamp out when there was a pounding on the door. Skeeter threw the covers over his head. He said, there's nobody in here.
Poor said, see, I told you there was no one in there, Hugo.
He said, what did they say talking to us for then?
Oh, he said, I never thought of that.
Hugo pushed the door open. He said, all right, where are you, greenhorn? Where are you? He said, look at my socks. And he stuck his hand down through the socks and right on through. He said, look at these big holes. Jackie said, well, I think he's asleep. Hugo reached over and pulled the covers off, and there was Skeeter just a shivering in his nightie. He said, hello, Hugo. Is it morning? He says, no, it's night, and you're going to see stars. Mogai got up, big pale face with fire in hair. You leave now. Headmaster say lights out at 9, it passed 9. Said, well, not until... He saw Mogai take a few steps forward. He said, well, yeah, I guess that's right. It is getting late. He said, but I want to say just a few words before I go. He says, Friday is going to be initiation. He says, and for you, Skeeter, he says, you're going to get a double dose of everything. He says, yeah, double dose. And he slammed the door shut and shook the whole building. Jackie looked over at Skeeter. Said, I feel sorry for you. He said, I'm going to pack my clothes. He said, I'm leaving in the morning. He said, I'm not going to stay around here. He said, that Hugo Barnes, he'll kill me. He said, yes, yes, he will. And he said, he'll feed you to the vultures. He said, he wouldn't really. And he said, well, I wouldn't put it past him. So the next few days, Skeeter stayed out of Hugo's way as much as he could. If you'd see him on the other side of the campus, he would duck behind bushes and crawl on his hands and knees just so that Hugo wouldn't see him. And each day, Skeeter would look at the calendar which they had in their room, and every day that passed brought Friday closer and closer. Finally, Thursday noon, when they had just returned from lunch, all the boys were around the bulletin board. And Jack said, I wonder what the news is now. He said, you want me to find out? He said, well, how? He says, yeah. Skeeter got on his hands and knees, and he climbed through all the legs up forward, and there was a notice. Attention all greenhorns. You are required to attend the initiation tomorrow night in the auditorium at 8 o'clock. You must be there or else. And there was a big question mark. Skeeter gulped a few times.
got down on his hands and knees, crawled all the way back. Jackie looked at him. He was as red as a beet. Says, what happened? He said, that's about the initiation. He said, we have to be there. Brandface and Bowie rushed up. He says, hey, Skeeter, what is it? He said, it's about us, the Greenhorns. He said, we have to be at the initiation. Bowie looked at Skeeter. I'm scared. He said, I'm awfully scared. He said, you're scared. He said, I'm going to get a double dose. He says, yeah, but Skeeter, you can take it. He said, I can't take anything. He said, that big ox is going to... And finally, Bowie looked at Skeeter. He said, Skeeter, he said, could the two of us go together? Brandface looked over at Jackie. He said, would you go with me, Jackie? And says, Mo Guy? He says, sure. He says, three of us will go, and Jackie and our Skeeter and Bowie can go together. He says, all right. He said, I'll see you tomorrow. About what time? He said, well, after I finish my chores. And finally, Brandface went up to Skeeter. He says, Skeeter, do you think we could run away? Skeeter said, that's what I was thinking. He said, well, that's just what I was thinking. Jackie, who was nearby, overheard it. He says, boys, he says, you'll get it twice that much. He said, yeah, but I'm already promised double. He said, well, then it'll be four times as much. I guess we better go, boy. He said, you'll still go with me? He said, sure. He said, don't be afraid, Bowie. He said, I'll look. Skeeter said, I'll look at Hugo Barnes straight in the eye, and I'll, Jackie says, and? He said, and I'll run. That's what I thought. He said, well, anyway, Bowie replied, he said, I'm going to depend on you, Skeeter. He said, you just depend on me. So that evening, Skeeter could hardly do his work. Every so often, there'd be a knock at the door. Skeeter said, come in if your nose is clean. And it would be Bowie. And Skeeter, he says, are you thinking about tomorrow night? He said, no, I'm too busy working. He said, I'm really scared. He said, well, Bowie, he says, what are you scared about? He says, they can't do much to you. He says, yeah, but didn't you hear? He says, hear what? They're going to make us drink warm blood. He said, would you mind going back to your own room? You're making me sick. He said, well, that's why I came here. Jackie says, don't. He says, it's not that bad. Now go on. He says, look, all the upperclassmen were here, and they were greenhorns once, right? He said, of course. He said, they lived through it. Bowie smiled. He said, yeah. He said, they're all here, aren't they? He said, I guess it can't be that bad, can it? He said, no, it's not that bad at all. He says, thanks, Jackie. He said, I feel a lot better now. He went down the hall and back to his own room. Jackie says, Skeeter, I don't know whether it's you or what, but you've got him frightened to death. He said, well, not my fault. It's that Hugo Barnes' fault. So the next day was a very nervous day for greenhorns, because every time they'd look at an upperclassman, they would almost shiver in their boots, because they would always look at him with a smirk as if to say, we'll see you tonight. Skeeter and Jackie tried to stay out of upperclassmen's way, but all too soon, the day slowly passed to evening. At the supper table, Mr. Woodworth passed the food around. He says, well, boys, he says, in about an hour and a half, 2 hours, he said, I'll see you all again for more refreshments. Yeah. There were groans. But when they looked at Hugo Barnes and Horace and the upperclassmen, there were big smiles. Skeeter looked at Horace. Said, Horace, what are you going to have for us? Oh, he said, I can't tell you that, Skeeter. He said, but I'll promise you one thing. He says, I'll save you extra portions, double servings. He said, no, thank you. So, you're my friend. Finally, when Mr. Woodward dismissed him, they quickly went up to their rooms. Skeeter kept looking at the clock, and the minutes finally turned into hours, and finally Jackie said, "Well, Mo Guy?" He says, "Let's go." He says, "Skeeter?" He says, "Yeah, I'm going to wait for Bowie." He says, "You go ahead." There was a knock at the door. "Come in if your nose is clean." Brandface opened the door. He said, "Jackie, are you ready to go?" He says, "Yeah, are you going?" He says, "Yeah, Bowie's getting on his shoes. I guess he thinks he's going to do a lot of running tonight." So Skeeter laughed. He said, "That's what I ought to do, put on my tennis shoes so I can run fast." Jackie said, "Well, Skeeter," he says, "we'll see you in a few minutes over there." So they left. In a few minutes, Bowie stuck his head in the door. He said, "Hey, Skeeter, you ready?" He says, "Yeah, are you?" He said, "Are we going to run away?" He said, "No." He said, "They wouldn't do any good." He said, "Come on." So they started down the steps. He said, "Let's cut across through the yard, the campus, over to the gym." And there were some shrubs and trees, and they cut across. And finally, they saw all these boys, most of them greenhorns, walking over to the auditorium. And finally, when they got inside, there was just filled to the brim with boys. And all of them looked scared and frightened. Nobody knew what was coming. And some of them were huddled in corners, talking about, "What do you think they're going to do to us?" Jackie and Skeeter finally met, and they were in a corner talking to some of the people that they have known from the other dormitories. "Hey," he says, "you know what I heard they're going to do?" He said, what? He said, "I understand. I saw Hugo Barnes bringing in a blowtorch," he said, "and a branding iron." He said, "There's no cattle around here." He said, "I heard they're going to brand us." He said, "Put a big C on us." "Ew." He said, "With the red hot iron?" He said, "Well, why would they have a blowtorch?" He said, "Gee, I never heard anything like that." By that time, everybody got quiet because Mr. Woodward came forward on the stage. "Boys," it got quiet. "This is the evening that we set aside for initiation. As you well know, each year the greenhorns are invited as our guest of the upperclassmen to share and enjoy an evening of fun. We have some refreshments for you, and I hope that you have a good time, and I'll turn the meeting over now to Hugo Barnes, who is the chairman of the initiation committee." Here and there were a few hands applauding, but most of the greenhorns were shivering in their boots. As Hugo Barnes came forward, Mo Guy looked up. "Big Chief with fire in hair now tell about strange things." Jackie says, "You can say that again." "Why should I say again? You know here first time?" He said, "No, forget it." Hugo Barnes smiled. "Greenhorns," he says, "welcome." He said, "This is an evening that I'm sure you look forward to, and I'm sure that we have." Behind him was at least 20 upperclassmen who were in charge of the initiation with him. He says, "My committee and I have worked very hard to prepare this program for you, and I hope that you enjoy it. And I think we'll start the evening out first by refreshments. Usually we play games first, but I thought we'd be doing it differently. So for refreshments, Horace, would you bring out the first big bowl of refreshments?"
He said, yeah, sure.
He went behind the curtain and came out with a great big punch bowl full of live crawling worms. Just crawling. And in through the audience, "Ew." He says, "Now, don't get panicky. There's enough for everybody." Says, "If we run out of worms in this bowl, we've got some more. So he says, just take it easy. Now we're going to ask you to line up And Horace and I will do the serving. So if you will start lining up. Finally, the boys began to slowly line up. Skeeter looked at Bowie. He said, "You know, I'm getting sick." He said, "I've been sick ever since I got here." He says, "Well, boys, I tell you what we have to do. We can't have you all come up on the stage. We're going to take it over here to the room on the left, the cloakroom, and I want you to come in this door and you can leave out that door." Skeeter looked, he said, "Yeah, if we can make it that far." He said, "All right, Horace, carry the bowl in there, and I can see that some of you are turning a little green. I'm going to ask some of my assistants here to put a blindfold on you so that maybe that will make it easier for you to swallow." So they lined up. Hugo Barnes took this huge bowl of worms and set it on the table, and then one of the other boys brought in a huge bowl of cold, slimy spaghetti. And as the boys slowly walked through, Hugo Barnes would open their mouth and drop in a forkful of this spaghetti and then slap them on the back, say, "There you are." And the boys would come out as green as they could. Ugh. Oh. Skeeter looked, he said, hey, how do they taste? No, he said, "Terrible. I can feel them crawling around my stomach." Skeeter said, "Yeah." He said, "They'll probably be crawling out of my ears." And finally, one by one, they went through, and finally, Skeeter was next. Horace said, "Hey, Skeeter's coming up, Hugo." "All good." They put the blindfold on him, took him through. Hugo looked at him. He says, "Well, my friend, open big for you, a double serving." "Yeah, please, Hugo, you know, please, open up." And he opened his mouth and he dropped in a great big portion of cold, oozing spaghetti and finally slapped him on the back. Boom. Says, "There, would you want some more?" No. Skeeter came out in the auditorium. Oh, oh. Bowie was frightened. He says, "Skeeter," he said, "was it terrible?" He says, "Yeah, you're going to see." And one by one, the boys, including Jackie and all, came through. And most of the boys would sit down on the floor, holding their heads down. Oh, oh. He said, "Now, boys," Hugo got up on the stage again. He said, "I see that you've all enjoyed the nice refreshments." He said, "There's a few worms left." He said, "Bring out the bowl." One of the boys brought out the bowl, and at the bottom of the bowl that had the worms in it, there was only a few left. He said, "There's only about two or three left if somebody wants seconds." Nobody came up for seconds. And of course, Skeeter and Brandface and all of them believed that they had been eating the worm because they were all gone. "Now, I'm sure that most of you are thirsty." He said, "Oh, yes, good." He said, "I need something to drink." He says, "We have prepared for you," he says, "warm ox blood." Ew. Skeeter turned all green again. Says, "Bring out the bowl of warm blood." And again they brought out this huge pitcher of blood. At least it looked like blood. Hugo stuck his finger in it, tasted it. He said, "It's not bad." He says, "Not bad. Ugh." He says, "Could be worse." He says, "All right, this time," he says, "maybe you'd like to just stay out here." He says, "We'll bring the bowl down on the table. And as you come by, open up, and I'll dump a dipper full into your mouth." He said, "If you like seconds," he said, "there might be enough for seconds." So as the boys lined up one by one of the boys would open their mouths, grab them by the jaws, and open it big, and then they'd pour this small dipper of this warm blood in their mouth and then slap them on the back. Finally, Skeeter's turn came again. I said, oh, my friend again. He says, double dose for him. No, thank you. I really don't. They opened his mouth. Goom. Says, another one. Skeeter, goom. Says, there, now that isn't bad. Oh, I'm sick. I'm sick. He finally went to the end of the auditorium and sat down by Jackie, who had already had his. He says, Skeeter, that wasn't really blood. He said it wasn't. He said, it's warm ox blood. He says, where did they get an ox to kill? One of the boys nearby, he said, well, they should have killed Hugo Barnes for an ox. He said, who'd want to taste dead blood? Finally, Jackie says, I heard one of the upperclassmen, he said, by the door over there. He says, they were mixing up ketchup and warming it up so it tastes like warm blood and mixing it with water. He said, do you mean that ketchup mixed with warm water? Skeeter kind of smiled. He said, you know, Jackie, I knew that all along. Skeeter laughed. Jackie looked at him. If you knew that along, why did you turn green? Oh, well, I change colors with the seasons. He says, Skeeter, he says, you believed it just like I did. About that time, Hugo Barnes got on the stage. All right, greenhorns, we have more entertainment. And there were groans all over the place. But I can see you're enjoying yourself with the food and the entertainment. He said, we have decided to select a few choice greenhorns that we would like to brand. Everybody yelled out, brand! Horace, bring out the blowtorch and the red-hot branding iron. Said, it has a nice little C on it for Culver. Said, it's small. He says, and we're going to put it right in the middle of your chest, so that forever when you remember the wonderful, wonderful